Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us on the telephone line. Hello, Eric.
Howdy, Rich. Gary, how we doing?
I'm feeling there's a mood. There's a mood being created here.
There's a mood. This is a song called Bordeaux. I have no idea really why. I guess I don't care. To let people in on my own little world on Tuesday mornings, I am usually somewhere between my daily ablutions and preparing lunch for my children, which actually didn't have to happen today as
right.
They were home. And Rich usually posts the guests for the day on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, dear God, I'm one of those. And it's usually not me. This is the truth. I usually see Colin Fleming's face.
Ah.
I see that angst-ridden staring off into the I don't know if it's the future or like another plane of existence, but I see his face. I'm like, oh God, I got to pick a song. You can tell him I said that.
It will.
He clearly lives in a different world, a world with far more time than I have in my world. Because man, that guy gets through a lot of media. So I hope everybody's well. I hope everybody out there in Radioland is well. It's hot.
Yeah.
Perfect day for, we're going to talk about some places that make really wonderful, refreshing wines and then also some stodgy wines. But if you're not drinking rosé and or another refreshing beverage, you're doing it wrong. This is one of those days where not, you know, this is where we acclimate, right? And that's what I'm telling myself. This is acclimation time. It's not hot. It's just we're getting used to the fact that it's going to be warm.
That's right, a little teaser for the months ahead.
It's a teaser. Grace, a teaser. Wag the dog. Beautiful. So today we talk, just to remind everybody, it's June. My birthday is on Thursday. By the way, a quick shout out to those who have donated to my Facebook birthday fundraiser, including you, Rich Kimball, thank you, for the Bangor Symphony Orchestra. We have, on a lark, I posted it yesterday thinking, no one likes me that much. Already in about 24 hours, we've raised over my goal of $500. And if anybody out there wants to give to the Bangor Symphony Orchestra, I'm a big lover, fan. They are going to have my daughter, singular, in their clutches next year as a member of the Youth Symphony. I heart them. So thank you to everybody who's given to that fundraiser. So we're talking. We're going through the main countries of the world where they grow grapes and make significant wines. Last week we talked a little bit about the Rhone in France. This week, we talked the Loire and Bordeaux. We talk about the Loire and Bordeaux because they're kind of this, and we'll touch on some of the Southwest as well. But there's sort of this beautiful symbiosis between the Loire and Bordeaux. For those who can't picture France, France is kind of a square. I mean, it's got some jutting out points, but you can sort of think about it as a square. And the part that faces the Atlantic Ocean, basically across the ocean from us, if you wanted to take a boat, you have the region that is very, very main-like, which is Normandy and Brittany, rocky, harsh, very briny. They grow a lot of apples, pears. It's not so great for grapes, just like Maine, of course. Just like Maine and just like elsewhere in the world, climate change might be changing that. But just below that is the Loire. Now, the Loire Valley extends from the region of Muscadet, the city of Nantes, which is right on the Atlantic, and it extends about two-thirds of the way through France. into and curving and around and sort of dropping south near a mountain range near Burgundy. But throughout the Loire, you have so many unbelievable regions. You have a lot of beautiful old castles and chateaus, as well as, you know, you can do river cruises and all this. But the lands that you will pass through on those river cruises grow a variety of grapes that are frankly second to none in all of France in terms of like regions that we randomly categorize. At the mouth of the Loire, in the Muscadet region, you will taste wines made out of a grape called Melon de Bourgogne, which is thought to come from the, you know, the regions that were owned by the Dukes of Burgundy long ago. That's a history lesson that we'll get into another time. And it's wonderful and briny and fresh and great with things that will come out of the Atlantic Ocean. You venture inwards, you have the Central Loire, where you have Sauvignon, you have Chenin Blanc, which is a very honeyed, wonderful wine that in its most famous appellation is Vouvray. You have Cabernet Franc. You have Malbec, which in the Loire is called Côte. And then you get into the Eastern Loire, which is where the famous town and region of Sancerre and Puy-Fumé, Menetou-Salon, all these wonderful places are that are on these ancient seabeds, which make very chalky, saline-y Sauvignon Blanc Pinot Noir. It's a very disparate region. And then it's also kind of on the cusp of some of the more famous forests, which produced a lot of the oak barrels in France. And then you get just south of that, and the next big river and river are the Dordogne, and then you get, this is Bordeaux. And it's not that far south, and what really connects these two is trade, right? We had mouths of rivers producing ships going out carrying these wines, which were good, but it didn't really matter if they were good. It just mattered that they were out there. They were going to England, they were going to Spain, they were going to the New World, they were going to Africa. It mattered that they were ports of trade. So Bordeaux is really, 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 really most important because boats could go there.
Mm.
But that said, Bordeaux is essentially a port of trade, which there's a lot of rivers that go upstream. So the region of Cahors, the region of Marcillac, Gaillac, including, and not to just, you know, mention all the regions that do encompass Bordeaux, all these grapes came into this city, which ultimately is really, really most important for banking families, the Rothschilds especially. I mean, Mouton Rothschild, Lafitte Rothschild, Lynch Bage, these are Jewish families, Jewish banking families, which held property, which, if anybody cares about reading history, the book Wine and War that I always espouse talks about how these very, very wealthy families had to go into hiding in, like, the sub-barns of their neighbor's property to save themselves from the Nazis. But this was a region based out of money, and they grow a lot of the same grapes that, frankly, my home region of New Jersey can grow. Cabernet, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. And this is the classic Bordeaux style. And then you get a little farther south, you get into the Basque region, and you also see the grape Tanat. But basically, you're starting to get into the what we would here in America call the mid-Atlantic climate. So you're starting to get into this sort of, on a day like today, we can all really appreciate it, this sort of swampy, humid atmosphere, which frankly extends growing cycles, but can also lead to things like fungal rot and stuff like that.
Ooh.
So this is a region where you have to start thinking about spraying, about places. And this is how Sauternes, which is a famous Bordelaise dessert wine, developed, because Sauternes is infected with what we call noble rot or botrytis. But it's only because that particular valley and a couple of the valleys around it get enough wind that it blows out the bad funguses and keeps it aerated enough. It's an intriguing region, and the whole sort of vital, vicious, nasty, And the grapes that kind of grow inland from it are heavily influenced by it. But that's sort of my summation, because next week we have to move on. We're busy people. We have to move on, I believe, to Germany next week, because we have to sort of do... I've started realizing that we have to encompass a couple more regions this year, like Hungary. We haven't touched Hungary, but the fact that I have at least three or four Hungarian wines on my shelf at any one time has made me realize that I have given short shrift to some parts of Eastern Europe. So we're going to start exploring them a little bit more this year than we have in years past. I'm sure I'm out of time, but everybody catch Destination Downtown tonight on Facebook Live. We're going to be talking to Amanda Coburn of Maine Jewelry and Art about their Mabel Wadsworth Pride Month fundraiser, and I'm very excited about that.
And my cousin.
And
Amanda, well, she's also my cousin, is what I'm saying.
Oh, and this is what I'm saying. I after coming here to Maine, I'm not surprised. Everybody, I mean, you know, of course you are. Of course you are.
Yes, she's the talented cousin.
Fabulous. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes,
she is fabulous. She is. I heart her, and I'm very excited to talk to her tonight. Not only about her jewelry creation, which I love checking out. I know she does classes. I want to talk to her about that. Now that you know, COVID is we hope. Slowly moving on. But yeah, so please join us tonight, 6 p.m., to join Carrie's cousin, Amanda Coburn. And then, you know, keep frequenting Bangor Wine and keep doing the right thing and get yourselves vaccinated. 50-ish% sounds good, but come on, people.
Yeah. But Maine's doing better. Maine's doing better than everybody.
Darn right, which gives me hope. But let's keep pushing. Right. Anybody who you know who isn't, just nudge.
It would be the best birthday present you could give Eric.
I agree. Thank you, Rich. There you go.
There.
That would be a wonderful, wonderful birthday present.
Well, you have a wonderful...
I'll catch y'all next week when I'm 43.
Oh, no way. I don't believe it for a minute. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Eric Mee and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday here on Downtown.